I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician. We're going to look at that later on today. What is the state of politics in the United States right now? I saw yesterday, I just caught it because television was on where I was, breaking news from NBC. When I see breaking news in the middle of the afternoon, it does set off some alarm bells. I'm attracted to chaos, so I'm always interested to see what's going on that would be breaking news. It was actually the signing of the infrastructure bill yesterday, and it's pretty amazing to think that the most powerful country that has ever existed, but certainly on the world stage right now, is run by the people it's run by. It's really quite astounding to just see, and there was not even any audio for it, but just to see Joe Biden giving his old guy get off my lawn style address about this infrastructure bill yesterday. It's almost funny. It's almost like some kind of a comedy at some point, except that it's not. It's real life. So we'll take a look at that later on. My quotes of the day are taking on a life of their own. Consuming what started as a kind of a one-off mention of something that I thought were wise words. I'm stacking these things during the day and finding some that are very interesting. And I've got a couple of audio ones today. One is comes from what I believe is a six-year-old girl. I'll get to that one in just a second because it really should it should really make us adults feel pretty ashamed. But anyway, I'll start off with this one. This is a great quote. I love this one, and I kind of embrace it here at the show. It's by a guy named Daniel Dennett. Daniel Dennett, he said, there's simply no polite way to tell people they've dedicated their lives to an illusion. I don't know the context of what he was talking about. There's simply no polite way to tell people they've dedicated their lives to an illusion. And I think that's what I've been trying to attempting to do here for 5 years now, which is kind of look across the spectrum as an observer, someone who has really dropped out because of just the insanity of the two major political parties and all of the candidates that they put up in front of us on the national stage, particularly, and just said, you know, I can't believe I ever wasted my breath on it. And for 5 years, I think I've been telling the listening audience to this show, you have dedicated your lives, your love, your treasure to an illusion that somebody out there loves you and they're going to take care of you. And if you just vote hard enough and give them enough power, they're going to come through for you. So I apologize if I have not done it in a polite way, because apparently there is no polite way to tell people they've dedicated their lives to an illusion. I love that quote. It's very true. This one, a listener mentioned possibly yesterday when we were talking about money creation. I talk a lot here about the Federal Reserve, and he mentioned this quote, so let's go ahead and get it exactly right. This is from Nathan Rothschild. And this is centuries ago. He said, I care not what puppet is placed upon the throne of England to rule the empire on which the sun never sets. The man who controls Britain's money supply controls the British Empire, and I control the British money supply. This is why I talk about the Federal Reserve, because it's not Nathan Rothschild behind the scenes right now, but it is his ilk behind things like the Federal Reserve and central banking, those who control the United States money supply that actually control this country. And what you're participating in politics, is just the theater side of it. This little girl, holy cow, let's see where this was. I can't resist playing this, not the greatest audio. This is a second grader in Florida who was suspended 36 times for not wearing a mask. So she has gone to, I'm not sure if this is a city council meeting or a school board meeting, but it's appears to be some nut jobs behind one of these daises spaced out wearing masks. And they've got their little areas for public comment that are behind plexiglass. And yes, this is in the state of Florida. So this is a 6-year-old girl going and addressing this board, whatever they are.
My name is Fiona Lachelle, and I am in second grade at Discovery Key Elementary. I am back to talk to you again today. And for anyone who thinks I didn't write my speech last time is wrong. I wanted to be here then, just like I do now. Sorry if I am supposed to be scared when I see people yelling at these meetings. So I am back today, and tomorrow is my birthday. I am going to get suspended if I don't wear a mask for 3 more days. Just because I get suspended for not wearing a mask isn't going to change my mind. You can keep suspending me. I still have the right not to wear a mask. It is not fair that I'm getting punished because you guys, the school board, are not following the law. That is not fair. It just isn't right. I'm still going to stand up for what I believe in, and nothing's going to change my mind. I've been getting suspended a lot because I'm wearing a mask. Do you know how dirty masks are? Because you touch the mask, you put it on your face, you breathe all those germs in because you have lots of bacteria on your hand. Oh, and okay, yeah, I hope you all go to jail for doing this to me. And my family is proud of me, and my Uncle Murphy, that is in heaven, is really proud of me. And I want to say Burke sucks, but instead of, your rules suck.
So what I would ask the adults out there, have you done as much as this 6-year-old girl in Florida to oppose these ridiculous, ineffective and dangerous masks on your children at school? Hello, any parents out there at Jackson Public Schools? Has anybody done as much as this 6-year-old girl? Now, I know a group of people who have done what this little girl has done, and they have stood up for their rights, but it is pretty amazing. We live in a nation full of adults afraid to speak out. We've got a 6-year-old little girl that will stand in front of this group. She says she writes her own speeches, and listening to her, I do not doubt that. But you might need to rethink your standing as an adult, a parent, or a guardian of your child if you don't agree with these masks, yet you have kept your head down, stayed away from the school board meetings because you know these people and you don't want to raise a ruckus. This 6-year-old girl, 6-year-old girl, is lapping you in fighting for freedom in this country. Pretty amazing stuff. There's a piece put out by Jim Kunstler. He kind of succinctly said something in his first paragraph of his piece. He said, "Why on earth would any American with a functioning brain believe what he, she, they is being told by the public health officialdom, the politicians, or the news media? For 2 years, they have lied to you about everything relating to COVID-19 virus, including where it came from, how it was developed, who sponsored its development, how the vaccines happened to come on stage 30 seconds after the disease entered the scene, how well the vaccine worked, how safe the vaccines were, and whether there were other cheap and effective treatments for the disease." I mean, seriously. These people in their white medical coats still have an ounce, a shred of credibility at this point, but for a lot of people they do. And I wanted to give a heads up to people. This is a sad day. A sad day. I've commented a lot on how over the past 5 to 10 years we've seen comedy just crushed, particularly on the left, where they just refuse to do anything but spew hate and stuff. They just have become chronically unfunny. And as somebody who's such a huge fan of comedians and comedy and the creativity and cleverness of these people, it's been very sad to see. But we've seen similar things over the past year, really, when it comes to rock and roll. The Foo Fighters. The Foo Fighters. One of the greatest rock bands ever. Is now doing vaxxed-only concerts, or at least they kicked off, I think, their latest tour when they came back with a vaxxed-only concert. These rebels, these hard-charging, hard-living rebels, suddenly now kowtowing, vast majority of them, notable exceptions, but are kowtowing to these ridiculous vaccine and mask requirements and these kinds of things. I ran across this. Once upon a time, rock musicians were outliers who both played unconventionally and defied conventional wisdom, the false wisdom of the man. They posed questions via chords and via their lyrics, by their attitude, by their look. And now this. Gene Simmons, the bass player and demon of the 70s rock glam band Kiss, has publicly declared that those of us who question the wisdom of being injected with the drugs being aggressively pushed at us by a tag team of pharmaceutical cartels and government using corporations as the enforcement mechanism are, quote, criminal. Gene Simmons now has come out and said, you do not have a right. I don't have the quote in front of me. I guess I cut that piece off when I was clipping it. But he essentially said, you don't have the right to infect somebody. That's a delusional right that you have. So just a heads up to anybody out there, maybe making a pilgrimage to a Kiss reunion, 10th or 11th farewell tour of Kiss, but the demon, Gene Simmons, has also turned out to be just another one of these people serving the man. Sad stuff. But when I come back, speaking of comedians, I hope this next clip translates to radio because it's genius. You can always email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send this thing to you because there's some visual to it. I don't know if you're familiar with the comedian Jim Brewer. I can't remember where I first saw him. I think he was on a sketch show. Might have been Fridays. Not Fridays, Mad TV. Does anybody even remember Fridays? I think it was Mad TV. He does a lot of facial expressions, very animated guy, kind of a Jim Carrey-esque comedian. But he has got a video out. I think the audio will translate that is just knocks the cover off the ball as he's commenting from his hotel room waiting to go on stage in Omaha, Nebraska. I just love it. Stay tuned for that. Be right back. Radio is the sound of salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. You know, every day I pull together clips and stories and I'll rearrange them on my show notes to try to get some flow to the show. I'm not always successful. Sometimes it's disjointed, but I actually put some effort into this and I just made a huge mistake. After that little girl, this six-year-old girl who was standing up to the ridiculous tyrants in her Florida area, whether it was school board or city council, I guess I need to find that out, but as I see a six-year-old stand up to these people, while in the Jackson metro area, I covered it, I can't remember exactly the number, but something like 340,000 parents and grandparents watching their children marched off to school in a mask for over a year. And it's coming back. I mean, a lot of people, they're out of the masks now. Why are you still talking about the mask? Because they're coming back. What do you think Thomas Dobbs is going to do when we see the winter spike? It's coming back. Is it too much to ask we get proactive on one thing, protecting our children? We're going to wait to react again to this. It's coming back. Anyway, this little girl has been suspended 36 times. She's refusing to wear the mask And God love her parents for empowering this child to fight the system like that. I had a quote from Ezra Pound that I needed to read right after that clip. This is where I messed up on my flow of the show. I just missed a note. Ezra Pound says, "A slave is someone who waits for someone to come and free them. A slave is one who waits for someone to come free him." And I see a lot of this in politics. This is what voting is about. This is 330 million Americans stripped of their wealth and stripped of their rights. Just voting really hard every 2, 4, and 6 years, thinking that'll do it. Someone will come rescue us. The little girl's not a slave. It was a beautiful thing to see. This is his clip. This is Jim Brewer. He's a comedian. He'll explain to you. He's waiting to go to do a couple of shows in Omaha, and he just goes kind of on a rant. He's standing in front of just the window in his hotel room, waiting to go and doing basically a self thing. I hope this translates it. Again, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, if you want to see the clip, or you can probably find it. This is on Twitter. So he does a lot of face stuff, but what you'll hear is him kind of showing the arguments that people are having. He's very animated when he does it visually, but for audio, I think it suffices. But his point of this 2-minute rant is especially well taken for this show.
Hanging out here, I got shows in Omaha, Nebraska tonight, tomorrow night. And are you enjoying the great distraction circus I am? Wow, what a show. Let's talk about this Rittenhouse kid today. Well, clearly, he's an American hero. Hero? What are you, some kind of animal? He murdered people. Yeah, no, it was in self-defense. Self-defense? He should have never been there anyway. What's a 16-year-old doing with a gun? Well, he was trying to defend some real people. Did you see the people he actually killed? They were monsters. I know, but nobody... If anything, I think we should take guns away.
If anything, I think he's the right reason why we need more guns.
Sire, our plan is working geniusly as it has for centuries. They just keep dividing and we keep conquering as they're more distracted. We need to... Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a liar. How dare he lie? Why can't he be a teammate? Just get vaccinated. I think it's actually a choice. You should have a choice if you want to or do a double choice or a for the means of other people, of course. Oh, please, give me enough of that crap.
Oh, wait a second. People haven't died? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that Aaron Rodgers shouldn't be taking horse pills and taking advice from Joe Rogan, who's not a doctor. It's misinformation, and my information is the information.
The great divide and conquer, sire. They will never unite. Our plan's been working for centuries. Or are they starting to catch on, and we will unite eventually. Turn the circus off, or at least know you're watching one.
Amen, brother. I find that to be just genius. And he's right. All of these things that come up pit people against each other, and the media stokes it. They love to stoke it. And, you know, I can talk to conservatives and liberals and talk about how all of these issues are designed to divide everybody. And almost everybody that I talk to, it doesn't matter if they're on the left or the right. And I know this is weird. I talk to people on both sides real nicely. I have friends on both sides. And everybody agrees. They see this stuff. Listeners to the show know that this theater is put on and it's designed to divide us. It doesn't matter really what the issue is. Everybody knows this. When I talk to them, they'll acknowledge it, and it doesn't really feel like that I'm forcing the issue on them. They go, I know. And I will point out, I mean, you know, look what they're getting away with. Look at the billionaire donor class. Look what they're getting away with. And everybody go, I know. But these same people that I talk to that know these things immediately go that night onto Facebook and Twitter to scream at absolute strangers about all these little issues. And it's incredibly frustrating to me. Now, I'm not somebody delusional that thinks we're suddenly going to all catch on. But eventually, you know when we're all going to catch on? And it should be happening right now. I keep pointing this out. Republicans want to blame Joe Biden all for the inflation. It's all Joe Biden's fault. Ignore the last 50 years of money printing. Ignore the fact they increased the money supply by 20% of all money created in the history of this country just last year during Trump's final term. Ignore all of that, couch it in a partisan thing, and have, you know, and join in the fight on that. Call it Bidenflation. I mean, this is what people do. But what's going to happen is eventually we're all going to be in the same pot, and we're finally going to realize, oh my God, we're all in a pot. And at that point, more people, not everybody, there will still be people on the fringes who just can't get out of that mindset of my team versus your team, and the fact that you're on another team, even though you have no more power over me. See, nobody that is on Twitter that's talking to you has any power over you. So why do you care? Why are you engaging with them? And the more you scream at them, the more hardened they get in their position, not convincing anybody of anything, going to social media or even the conservative talk show airwaves to call out your fellow man for being an idiot or a Nazi or whatever it is you want to call him out for. It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. But eventually, at some point, it has happened throughout history. People finally look around and go, oh my God, look what we have allowed to take place. We are all being abused, and that's when people start forming coalitions across the line. It would be great if we could get out ahead of that. But it is amazing to me that everybody seems to acknowledge this division and the purposefulness of it. It's done on purpose. The media stokes things like the Rittenhouse trial. They stoke the Aaron Rodgers. They stoke the vaccine issue. They stoke the race issues. These are purposely done, and just about everybody I know participates in it. While they know they're being played, they'll admit that, but they just can't resist. They can't resist screaming at another powerless person, and I guess it is this vain attempt to try to express some level of power, to scream at somebody else that doesn't think the way you do because they're so stupid. It does absolutely nothing but allow them to get away with what they're getting away with. When I speak to somebody on the left, I never yell or argue. I certainly don't go on social media. I don't really go on social media at all. I don't go on social media and scream at anybody. I ask a bunch of questions. And I always make sure that if there's some jokes involved in any of these conversations, I leave with a smile, because the majority of the people that I know on the left, not all of them, there's idiots on the right and the left. Some of them are just dumb, not reachable, really not worth. I'll just pick another topic. We'll talk about football, I guess. But those people that I do engage, I will just ask a bunch of questions. I don't understand right now how liberals have become what they have become over the past 10 years. These people that I have always respected, even though I disagreed with them economically, I did respect their desire to help their fellow man, even though they wanted to use the government to do it. I'll convince them that, or try to convince them that that doesn't work. It's pretty apparent by now. It's stealing money from one group and giving it to another. Not real successful for the prosperity of everybody. But this idea that I just will ask some questions. I don't understand what a lot of conservatives do at this point. I've really struggled with this, although I have to remember I was a part of it. How does a conservative Christian group of people support wars that kill innocent children? Because Mike Pompeo tells you it needs to be fought? Because John Bolton convinced you of it? Because Colin Powell, with all his decorations, told you And so we're on board with that. We actually cheer it. We get this militarism. This is the thing about conservatives. I don't understand. I don't understand small, limited government conservatives who say you need to get the government out of our lives, but if my neighbor smokes a joint, I want him put into a cage. I don't understand these things about conservatives. So there's a lot of things I don't understand about both sides. But if you ever talk to me in my off-air time, you're not going to get a big argument from me. You're not going to get me calling you a bunch of names. You're going to get some questions. I'd like you to answer them. A lot of times people deflect and they don't want to actually answer the questions, but I'm pretty persistent on trying to get them to at least think about things in different ways. But Jim Brewer, that clip, as he does the kind of ominous villain voice of just saying it's working perfectly. The plan is working. And it is. It is. Until we're all in the same pot, they're going to keep getting away with it. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I am fully aware I do not say a lot of popular things on here. I say what I think. I don't know if there's value to that or not. But there is one thing that is said, just kind of picking up on Jim Brewer talking about all these divisive issues and how people just yell at each other and you're just part of the circus. As I say, as the elites back up the truck and load it up with the carcass, they're picking us clean while we're all fighting with each other. There's one thing, and this is really not going to make me popular with people that I know. One of the things going around out there is this idea of looking at a Democrat when it comes to inflation and high gas prices and stuff and saying, look, this is what you voted for. It's your fault. You voted for this. I would caution conservatives, anybody who has voted for either Donald Trump or George Bush, or George Bush the first, or Ronald Reagan, or Richard Nixon, all of you who loyally pulled the R levers for your guys, you voted for this inflation too. If you don't think that your votes for Donald Trump have resulted in this inflation, and I know, click, 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 are people tuning me out? I don't have any culpability for this inflation. It's all Joe Biden and his dumb voters for doing this. This is Donald Trump who told the Fed to keep interest rates at zero, and he wanted them to be negative. Donald Trump wanted the spigots turned on with the printing presses at the Federal Reserve. And in 2020, during his last year, they increased the money supply by about 20% of all the money ever created. That's what the inflation was. So conservatives, if you want to know who voted for this inflation, it is that Democrat that you're talking to, but you take a look in the mirror as well. I voted for Donald Trump in 2016. I voted for this inflation because I had no earthly idea that his intentions were to jawbone the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates at zero, because I thought when Donald Trump was campaigning, he said things like the Federal Reserve is doing political things. They need to let interest rates rise. When he got in office, he did a 180-degree turn on that because he wanted his economy to look good, and he realized that our economy is hooked on endless debt and money printing, and so he decided to join the dark side. So I have culpability in this inflation because I, for the first time in a long time, voted for one of the major party candidates, much to my dismay now. If you voted for a Republican or a Democrat in the past 50 years, you voted for this inflation. And that is whether it's a Congress critter or a president. Anybody in charge of the federal government that has been complicit in this endless money printing experiment we're doing, you're all complicit in voting for this inflation. So let me dissuade you of the notion that only one side has unleashed the beast of inflation. Oh, let's see if I want to get to this now. I tell you what, I'll leave it at that. When I come back, I've got my stack of headlines. It's really quite amazing. I think these stacks are kind of interesting. They're just a keyhole look into the United States as it stands right now. Be right back. Rarely do I have a quote of the day that kind of pervades throughout the whole show, but I think the first one I read today by Daniel Dennett that said, "There's simply no polite way to tell people they've dedicated their lives to an illusion." I think that's going to come true with the show. I'm telling you, it's been an illusion, this illusion of choice that you've had in Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter what party you voted for. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. You've all participated, all of it, myself included. Although I've been pretty well checked out for the last 15 to 20 years, I will say. Donald Trump, my only vote for a major two-party candidate in quite some time. Quite some time. Anyway, here's my stack of headlines today. The hits just keep on coming. So this is usually Drudge is where I find these things because they just, you know, it's just a news aggregator. So there's a lot of headlines right next to each other. Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna making $1,000 profit every second. That's good work. It should also read with complete liability protection and government marketing. Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna making $1,000 profit every second. UK to demand 3 shots for COVID passes. They have now gone into the boosters. You are now unvaxxed, as compliant as you were. You did as you were told. Now you will do as you're told again, or you will be stripped of your freedoms in the UK. This has already happened in other countries as well, and will soon be coming to the United States. And 3 is just the next one. It will be 4, and then 5. I was talking to a friend the other day who went out and got the shot. He's not down with the booster. I said, well, you're right back even with me now. All these restrictions I have, you have too. Welcome back to the underclass. Another headline, specter of new restrictions rises in Europe. And you saw what happened when this COVID first happened, right? We heard the stories of Italy first and then England. And then it came across the Great Pond and was on us. Germany plans curbs for unvaxxed. Munich cancels Christmas market. Holy cow. And then, of course, this one back here at home. Fauci warns of another resurgence. Fauci went on to CNBC. This is where the story comes from, where he goes on and warns us we could be at the beginning of a COVID wave, says Dr. Fauci. You think your kids are not going to be put back in those masks? You think they're not going to mandate the shots for your kids? Yeah, just sit on your can. Let that 6-year-old girl from Florida do all the heavy lifting for you. Update, Minnesota amid virus blizzard. And study, this is one of my favorites in here. The pharmaceutical companies, oh, the avarice and greed of the pharmaceutical companies knows no bounds. Study, Prozac cuts risk? Question mark. Oh, yes, they've done a study. Prozac may reduce death risk, study says. The antidepressant, popularly known as Prozac, appears to reduce the risk of death in patients admitted to the hospital with severe COVID-19, according to a study published in the JAMA Network Open Journal. That's the Journal of the American Medical Association, the pill pushers in charge. Of the 470 patients taking fluoxetine, Prozac's chemical name, 9.8% died. That's compared with more than 13% of patients with similar characteristics not receiving an antidepressant. A reviewer of the study cautioned that it was observational and too small to establish cause and effect. Also, previous health conditions weren't available for all patients, another limitation, the reviewer said. I'm not sure. I'd seen this story before. Actually, a listener had sent this to me. That one of the antidepressants, I can't remember if it was Prozac or another one, they're going to try to push antidepressants on us as a COVID mitigation thing. Ivermectin, no good. But an antidepressant, an addictive, psychotropic drug, may help you survive COVID. These pharmaceutical companies have no shame, none whatsoever. Now, you may survive COVID and find yourself in the grips of a mass mental crisis and want to kill yourself or others, but you will have at least survived COVID. There were great economic numbers out. This one really cracked me up. Sales at U.S. retailers such as Walmart and Amazon rose in October at the fastest pace in 7 months and another strong showing for the economy. But high inflation and exaggerated the amount of spending. You know, sales figures, retail sales, they are a sales figure. The number of dollars spent by Americans. I don't know if they inflation adjust. I mean, let me do that again. I don't know if they, air quotes here in the studio, inflation adjust these prices when they release retail sales. But it's not hard to imagine that Americans are spending more dollars these days because everything costs more dollars. And this is couched in the financial media and through government propaganda. And I'm sure the Biden administration will probably take a victory lap on this one. This is couched as some kind of a signal of a strong, resilient economy, that more dollars were spent at the stores than they were last year at this time or last month. Yeah. No duh, dummy. Everything costs more. Retail sales surged 1.7% last month, the government said Tuesday. That's the biggest gain since March when the government doled out billions in stimulus monies to families. So we've got two ways to goose retail sales now in the United States. Our consumer economy, consumption being about 70% of what we do here now. We don't produce things. We consume things. We're consumers. We're customers. So they've got two ways to goose retail sales to make the economy look good. They either just send out checks from the federal government. They could just send out Amazon gift cards, let the oligarchy take total control of our economy. They send out cash that people do have a tendency to spend, or they just create massive inflation through endless money printing, and then when stuff costs more, they call that an improving retail landscape. Now, with this increase, economists polled by the Wall Street Journal had forecast just a 1.5% increase, but they got 1.7. Now, I'm going to do some quick public school graduate math here. They have told us that inflation now is running somewhere 6, 7, 8%, somewhere in there. So if you have a gain of 1.7% and you strip out the inflation, I would say the amount of goods that were actually purchased by Americans was a collapsing 4 to 5%. People were getting 4 to 5% less stuff. They just happened to be paying a hell of a lot more for it. Retail sales are a big part of consumer spending and other cues on the strength of the U.S. economy. Sales have risen sharply this year, and retailers are expecting an end to the year, even with the pandemic lingering. You know, they've been talking about supply chains, too, not just the inflation, but obviously we got supply chain issues. I love some of the memes I've seen where you've got people out in boats. It's usually like pictures of third world country boaters out there, and they superimpose it with the tankers off the coast of Los Angeles. And they talk about doing people getting ready to go do their Christmas shopping, because apparently there's a lot of things left on these boats. I think we're still at record numbers of ships that are moored offshore L.A. They don't have enough people to get the things off the boats. It's just an absolute catastrophe. As I said, they have broken the entire U.S. economy. But they're saying that this could affect Christmas toys, and I hope there are no children listening, because this would be the perfect year to be really naughty. I think you could be wildly disappointed come Christmas this year when stockings cannot be stuffed and presents cannot be wrapped because they are stuck off the ports in Los Angeles. So don't let your kids get any wind of this idea. A smart child will understand that it's Katie bar the door. You can behave however you want to. Santa ain't getting his stuff this year. It's all caught up. I wonder if Santa is having problems with an elf labor shortage these days. Did we send checks to the elves as well? This could be a truly catastrophic Christmas season if the elves have decided to just Netflix and chill this holiday season instead of helping Santa with the presents. When I come back, as I said, I just saw the breaking news on NBC yesterday was Biden signing this ridiculous infrastructure bill. And it just really struck me just looking at the images. I couldn't hear any sound. I heard a little bit today. Joe Biden was using his get off my lawn speech style. But it was just looking at the images of this cadre of idiots that are running this country. And I just thought, wow, what has happened to this country? We're going to take a look at kind of the state of American politics when we come back. Stay with me.
No phone, no phone. I just want to be alone today.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. The show is podcast, if anybody's interested in it. It's gotten quite a uptick on the podcast. I appreciate people supporting the show live, supporting the advertisers on the show, supporting the show on the podcast. You can find it at themikemadisonshow.podbean.com is where it's hosted, but you can find it on most podcast platforms. You can also email me, mikemadison@wyab.com, or you can always call in during the shows. I don't always take calls if I got a bunch of stuff to cover, but this next hour we'll take a look at what is apparently our government. I mean, I'm kind of looking across the political landscape, and it's a really bad comedy at this point. It's really something to behold, but you can call in 601-879-0002. So yesterday I see the breaking news on NBC. First thing that goes through my mind when I see these breaking news things right now, now there's always going to be, you know, your first thought, I think I still have some PTSD from 9/11. There was a big Fox News viewer back then, and they still have breaking news. Every Sean Hannity is a Fox News alert. You know, Fox News loves to keep you alarmed. Well, first thing is probably a bombing, but I immediately go to, did something happen to Biden? Have they decided to pull the plug on this failing president? I am so mystified by what is going on right now in the White House, because I do not believe that Joe Biden somehow earned this. These people are calculating people. They put Joe Biden in there as a brain-addled, senile old man for a reason. And I can't figure out exactly what that reason is, how it ends up benefiting them. He's going to go down, and we'll talk about, you know, his popularity and then his number two, who is truly a heaping pile of number two. Her approval ratings are worse than Joe's. So I'm not sure. It's possible that the Democratic Party is just so full of morons at the top that they thought that this was somehow palatable to the American people. I'm not really sure, but it really feels to me like Joe Biden is being set up as a sacrificial lamb. I would imagine they went through a lot of different people, and most all of them looked at the economic landscape of the country, looked at the things that are going on, and said, hell no, I'm not going down in history as the president when the next 4 years happens. Joe Biden was, you know, asleep during the conversations, and somebody nudged him. What about you, Joe? You want to be president? Yeah, I'd be glad to. I mean, who would want this crap sandwich of a term? And they gave it to Joe Biden, and it is playing out like it was going to play out anyway. This is the thing that drives me nuts about inflation. The idea, if Donald Trump had been reelected, we would also have inflation. This is very lost on people, and I know it's not popular to say, but I'll explain a little bit more about that with a clip. I think there's some reminding people need of things that took place during the past presidential administrations, but they say that politics is Hollywood for ugly people. And boy, was that on display yesterday at this signing of this infrastructure bill. I mean, the rogues gallery of just corrupt, decrepit, unattractive, both physically and intellectually, people that was surrounded. You know how they swarm in? They brought out the tiny desk. This was not signed in the Oval Office. They bring out the little tiny, little kid's desk with the presidential seal on it, and he sits outside, and it's always bugged me this, the way they do the signatures, and they use a different pen for every letter, and then they hand out the pens. It's just so self-aggrandizing, particularly when all of these laws are so destructive. I guess these politicians, do they collect these things? Are they actually proud? I would imagine they give them to donors. Here's the pen that signed the act that loaded the coffers at Halliburton, for instance. And they, so they give this pen to the Halliburton CEO, and he takes it and probably just stirs his coffee with it and laughs. But this was one of those kinds of ceremonies yesterday. Of course, this was breaking news, broke into to NBC. Apparently, it was also on CBSN. What is that? I don't even know. Is that some kind of an online thing? Is there some other upper-tier channel that CBS is confiscated to pass off bad news? But this is how they reported it yesterday, and we'll listen to a little bit of Joe Biden.
Garrett in Washington. President Biden is about to sign into law a sweeping bipartisan infrastructure bill. The $1.2 trillion package covers a lot. Roads, bridges, railways, airports, broadband internet, and so much more.
Social engineering.
It is the largest investment in America's infrastructure in decades. Here now from the South Lawn of the White House, President Biden.
Jill is very surprised I'm standing here.
We all are, Joe.
Well, Heather, thank you for the introduction. And I can't look over here because the sun's shining in my eyes, but all this other crowd over here, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all you've done. Look, thanks for sharing this day with us. Why this day matters to you and your fellow iron workers and your families, and you explained it well. For all the folks at home.
See, he's using his get off my lawn speaking style for this speech. I'm not sure why. I don't know why he breaks into that sometimes. It's either the whisper or the get off my lawn.
I know this day matters to you as well. I know you're tired of the bickering in Washington, frustrated by the negativity, and you just want us to use and focus on your needs, your concerns, and the conversations are taking place at your kitchen table. Conversation as profound as they are ordinary. How do I find work? And how do I get there? How can our small business thrive and our child succeed in school? Or how do we emerge from this pandemic, not just with a little bit of breathing room, but with real fighting chance to get ahead? When we ran for president, to help, I thought maybe I could help answer some of those questions.
We ran for president? I got to tell you, I don't think Kamala is the, I don't think she's the heir apparent.
For you and the needs you have. Because every time I'd ride home on Amtrak, I'd go through just north of just south of Baltimore. I'd look out and go through a suburban neighborhood. I'd look in those, all those lights are on in the windows.
And oh, that kind of, I found that a little bit creepy. Joe Biden's on his Amtrak, got his binoculars out, looking in everybody's windows. That kind of feels Joe Biden-esque.
And I look and I wonder, what are they talking about? I'm serious. Swear to God. What are they talking about sitting at that table? What are they talking about? They're talking about the things that I talked about at our kitchen table, Jill at hers, and all of you as well.
And I said, okay, I can't listen to any more of it. I can't listen anymore. I got one funny clip here. But, you know, one of the things that really struck me about this thing, and it is particularly this idea of spending $1.2 trillion, Joe tells you, it's because this is, you know, I mean, I've sat down at a lot of family dinners. I remember us talking about infrastructure endlessly, night after night, constantly talking about Congress and how we just wish they'd stop the bickering and get all, you know, the sad thing is there are people who say that. Look, I love the bickering. I love gridlock. I wish it was Mortal Kombat up there. Just lock the doors and maybe nobody actually emerges, but they get absolutely nothing done. This idea of bipartisanship, why can't they all get along? This is pervasive throughout American society. They need to get things done. Every time they do something, it's a disaster. We should want them to do nothing, to never get anything done. But a lot of Americans believe this Joe Biden, and Republicans do the same thing. They say, We need to come to consensus. We need to get things done for the American people. No, they are getting things done to the American people. But it is a hell of a thing as I watched this signing behind the little boy desk with this gang of people behind them. They said it was bipartisan. There are only a couple of recognizable people. Schumer and Pelosi were there. Mayor Pete was there. And it always strikes me when I see these things, particularly with these big spending bills, I think, what a hell of a racket you got there. You stole money. And make no mistake, as a libertarian, I believe that taxation is theft. If somebody came to my door and demanded a third of my income, or they were going to kidnap me and put me in their basement, I would consider that a crime. I do not make an exception that it's the government. See, this is one of those things I said, you know, I don't understand a lot of things about the left. I don't understand a lot of things about conservatives. For some reason, conservatives believe the government should be able to rob you. Because, you know, they're the government. They've got the authority to rob you. So anyway, when I look at these people, I think it's just a hell of a thing for them to be able to rob 330 million people at the point of a gun. And that's where it goes if you don't pay your tribute to Washington, D.C., to rob people and then bundle up a good chunk of that money, and a lot of it, you know, is leveraged against our grandchildren, and then dole it out and pat yourselves on the back for it. You heard Joe Biden thanking some people. He was looking into the sun, so he couldn't really see, but I'm sure this was some of the Congress critters that put together this boondoggle. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. What about to the American people that you stole the money from? This is essentially going house to house in your neighborhood and holding up every one of your neighbors and taking money from them. And then you go to your favorite charity and you hand over the big cardboard check. And they take pictures of you because you had the balls to go around and rob all of your neighbors to give this very generous donation to your charity. That's the vibe that I get from this. It's never lost on me. Whenever they do any kind of a spending bill, that money first had to be taken forcefully from somebody else, and to dare take credit for that and act like you are accomplishing something is just absolutely disgusting. But when I come back, though, I want to remind people about one thing about this infrastructure bill. I believe this was reported as this is, I really get lost in the numbers. It was $4 trillion, it was $5 trillion, it was $1 trillion, it's $1.2 trillion, it's $1.75 trillion. I believe this is a $1.2 trillion spending bill. That's what they finally came up with on this particular thing, of which we can afford none. Of the programs involved, none are designed to make this country any better. These will be doled out to special interest groups. That's $1.2 trillion stolen from our grandchildren to hand over to special interest. You will not see a return on this. America is very good at this. We've been doing this for decades and decades, but usually we were looting other countries. I guess I'll recount this story real quick and then I'll take a break. If you've never read Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins, I highly recommend you do. It really explains kind of how the world works. And this idea of Western countries, America being preeminent of those, being some kind of shining city on the hill, always lending a hand to the less fortunate nations around the world. That book will explain to you how it actually works. And what John Perkins would do as an economic hitman is he worked for the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. And he would go to rulers around the world, particularly in third world countries, Latin American countries, South American countries, I believe was kind of his territory as an economic hitman. And he would go in and say, hey, El Presidente, we can loan you $20 billion and you can build roads and bridges and infrastructure will really benefit your country. And many of the rulers took that along with, you know, some other kickbacks. And what would happen is that $20 billion would not go actually to the country. It would go directly to the favored construction companies, other contractors. So, see, it wouldn't even go to the country. It would go to these contractors. The contractors would, they might roll a few bulldozers into the country, make a kind of a show of building some roads and bridges, whatever little things they needed to do. It never actually helped the country. It just lined the pockets of the contractors who were part of this game. Now, occasionally, one of the rulers would understand what this game was. Well, let me finish that out. So then the $20 billion is loaned to this country. Again, the country never gets the money. It goes directly to the favored contractors. But then the people at the IMF, John Perkins, knew that this little country, this infrastructure investment in this little country was never going to increase productivity. It was never going to increase the quality of their life. It was never going to pay for itself like he was telling them it would. And so when it didn't bear fruit, the IMF, the economic hitmen, would go in there and say, man, it looks like you are really having some problems paying back that $20 billion we loaned you for all this infrastructure. And the world, the leader of that country would say, I know, it didn't make any difference. The lives of my people got no better. It's just all these contractors that you brought in with you all got rich, but it didn't do anything for us. And the IMF, the economic hitman, would say, well, that's a shame. I guess that can happen. But you do owe us $20 billion. And if you can't pay, we're going to need to take your oil fields, your agricultural things. They would go in and start picking the bones of this little nation that they got on the hook for all this debt, knowing that they were never able to pay it back. Now, here's the thing. If you're an American, many people will say, well, you're so anti-American. No. I'm anti-psychopaths in Washington, D.C. I'm anti-cronyism like that. And so America has been doing this to other countries through the IMF. There's other countries involved. It's not just us. It's the elites. It's the globalists. They've been doing this for years. They've been targeting other countries. Now they're targeting us. And say, well, they will do the same thing. This money will slosh around. It will go to the preferred contractors. You'll see a new bridge. It'll have a big shining sign. Thank Joe Biden and this bipartisan group of criminals who put this new bridge up for you. Oh, you'll see one or two of those, but it will have no impact on America going forward, and particularly many of the more damaging things in this thing about the Green New Deal and 500,000 electric charging stations, which we cannot power. Our grid cannot sustain 500,000 new charging stations. And I don't know, quick math, we've got to have hundreds of millions of cars on the road. How long is the line for a charging station? Doesn't a charge take like 2 hours? The whole thing is just an absolute nightmare. But none of this is designed to actually help us. They are turning this system of indebtedness and looting of the country on us now. I'm going to take a quick call, but I'm going to come back with an inconvenient clip. So bear with me as I'm bashing this Green New Deal, Build Back Better monstrosity. I'm probably going to lose some of you in a minute, but let's take this call real quick. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, I am, but I really didn't want to be on the air. I wanted to speak with Clay about the Assistance for Veterans.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good news. I'm glad to hear you want to do that. But call our office line. They'll get you in touch with him.
What's the number of the office line?
I don't even know at this point.
Okay, man.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, though, bro.
All right. All right. Well, that's good. We got charitable listeners out there. That's the encouraging part of that. When I come back, I'm going to show you that again. What was the original quote? Do I still have this thing pulled up? No, I don't. The quote, I hate to tell you, you've been living, you've dedicated your lives to an illusion. There's no polite way to do that. Well, I'm probably about to prove that. Stay with me.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
You know, I'm looking around at some headlines during the break then, and with this infrastructure bill, you know, you understand, and I don't care if it's the war party or the welfare party, it's just two big government parties that we're all languishing under. They're going to turn over the couch cushions to get money to do these harebrained schemes. There's a thing on Zero Hedge right now that they're introducing legislation now to really tighten up the tax rules around cryptocurrency. This will protect American innovation while at the same time ensuring that those who buy and sell cryptocurrency pay the taxes they already owe. They are going to turn you upside down and shake you till your pockets are empty for these harebrained ideas. And this money, again, I'm telling you, it's not going to end up improving the lives of Americans. These are special interest, just honeypots. The lobbyists, I can't imagine the soirees going on right now, the entertaining of our D.C. ruling class by the K Street crowd. as they keep announcing these giant spending bills. I said Big Pharma is setting records right now over the past year, lobbying for obvious reasons. Pharmaceutical companies knocking the cover off the ball right now in the age of COVID. But I want to remind, I hear so many conservatives, and look, I'm one of you complaining about the spending of this stuff. I am. It's an abomination. It's particularly an abomination in a country $30 trillion in debt, $120 trillion of unfunded liabilities, knowing that we're just sacrificing our children and we're allowing these politicians to get away with it. But they've been doing it for forever. And this idea, I just can't let it go. I cannot let it go. I cannot let it sit here and say, well, it's just those Democrats. We can just vote a little harder next time. We'll make sure, because we'll talk about the political landscape in a second. But I want to remind people of something. So this is, I believe, a $1.2 trillion boondoggle. But this is not the first time it's been brought up in a bipartisan way. I want to remind people of this.
Tonight, after 2 years of bitter battles, a rare glimpse of bipartisanship.
We just had a very productive meeting with the President of the United States.
There was goodwill in this meeting, and that was different than some of the other meetings that we've had.
The White House echoing Democrats' unusual optimism about today's meeting on infrastructure. That positive tone dramatically different than this confrontation in the Oval Office just 4 months ago, ahead of the government shutdown.
You want to shut it down. You keep talking about it.
The last time, Chuck, you shut it down.
No.
But on infrastructure, both sides saying yes.
Uh-huh. We did come to one agreement that the agreement would be big and bold.
Up to $2 trillion bold, though no plan yet how to pay for improving the nation's highways, bridges, and broadband.
So, during the Trump administration, again, I see conservatives and Republicans, and I agree with you, screaming about the spending of this thing. I'm with you. This is a boondoggle. Obviously, it does not contain infrastructure stuff. It's a bunch of social engineering. But I have got to remind people that Donald Trump floated out a $2 trillion infrastructure plan himself that he was going to do in a bipartisan way with the Democrats. And we do not have $2 trillion of infrastructure needs. That bill, had it been a bipartisan agreement between Donald Trump and the Democrats, which you're hearing this news story tell you, and Donald Trump talked about it himself. He said, $1 trillion? I think we should do $2 trillion. And Republicans stood down. I didn't hear any of the condemning the spending when Trump was proposing it. The reason I bring this up is to take me back to my quote. There is simply no polite way to tell people they've dedicated their lives to an illusion. Both of these parties are involved in this stuff. The protestations of the Republican Party right now as they talk about spending, you just heard. This was just a couple of years ago that Donald Trump and Republicans were joining hands with the Democrats. I called it out at the time. I wasn't heard because everybody was massively in love with Donald Trump. You didn't want to hear anything the slightest bit contrary to the fact he was the greatest leader that's ever walked planet Earth. I talked about it at the time, but I think it's time to remember. So as you gnash your teeth, as you should, about this $1.2 trillion spending bill, just do not let it be lost on you that Donald Trump and the Republicans just a couple of years ago floated out $2 trillion, more than this bill. And this is the illusion that people have dedicated their lives to. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So we have the Democrats passing this $1.2 trillion boondoggle with more of it to come. I mean, this is just one of many bills that they will dedicate to this Build Back Better plan. Well, I just played you a clip where Trump had signed up with the Democrats to do a $2 trillion infrastructure bill. They just didn't get it done. You know who doesn't pass trillion-dollar infrastructure bills? Libertarians. I'm just saying. Live in the two-party illusion all you want. But I was, you know, I was just really looking at the state. The news break just now, or the commentary piece that we have here on WYAB. If you're listening on the podcast, you didn't hear it. But it was talking about the the way the polls are lining up for the midterm elections in 2022, and it looks like it's going to be a red wave, absolutely. I mean, I guess a year in politics is a lifetime, they say, something along those lines. There's no telling what happens between now and then, but I don't think any of us believe that the Biden administration is going to get any better. They're not going to solve any problems in people's lives. I mean, the inflation's going to get worse. The supply chains may come around in a year or so, but I certainly am not holding my breath. I say the same thing for the labor markets, particularly if we have another COVID wave where they have to shut down businesses. And I would imagine we will have more stimulus checks going out in the next 6 months. Maybe the Democrats will attempt to buy more voters with more stimmy checks. They certainly can't underestimate that. But obviously, even to the most Trump-hating independent out there and some Democrats, Biden has turned out to be a big swing and a miss. And so they talk about his popularity. There was an article, Greenwich Time, paywalled me out of it here in the studio. I guess other hosts are using this outlet. So they're trying to charge me a dollar for 4 months. Well, I am not giving them my quarter per month for their news. I understand the ad revenue. We live on ad revenue. But these papers grasping, they need to find a better way to do it. I actually have a solution to how to pay for media, but I don't have the infrastructure, the money, or the connections to pull it off, so it will just it will die with me. But anyway, there's a story running on Greenwich Time right now that says, you know, Biden has underestimated the problems facing America. Are you kidding me? Joe Biden doesn't know what day it is. This man isn't overestimating or underestimating anything. He's just doing what he's told. He's reading what's put in front of him when he has the right drug cocktail, and he's taking the majority of his days in naps. But these stories say the Democrats are freaking out that the White House may have underestimated things like inflation and supply chains and COVID and all of these other things. Really? You think so? No, the intention is never to solve these problems anyway. He's not underestimating them. They don't care. They don't care about these things. And they don't care because inflation is great for the donor class. They love it. They lap it up. Both parties. Both parties. There was also stories about Kamala Harris's approval rating, I think, is right now is floating at around 28%, something really catastrophic like that. She's feeling, well, I'll tell you what, let me pull up this story. Because I'm just telling you, you look at the political landscape right now and you just think, what in the world is going on? I will say, I'm used to more polished, white-collar, sophisticated criminality in Washington, D.C. This feels very amateurish, what they're doing right now. It's kind of in-your-face, just kind of gangland stuff, saying a lot of nonsensical things, whether it's social policies. You know what I mean? It's like, when the Republicans are in charge, the criminality feels kind of polished. There's a credibility to the criminality when Republicans are there. It's a white-collar criminality when the Republicans are in charge. The Democrats just seem to be kind of flailing around at ridiculous ideas around COVID or climate or Build Back Better, all of this stuff. And the players are so unimpressive. Even during the Obama administration, you know, it felt a little more polished. I mean, it was a total con job. I mean, he was a front man for the deep state, and Democratic voters lapped it up. He carried water with Obamacare for the health insurance industry, and people thought he was a man of the people. But that's what I'm saying is he was good at tricking people. Obama was. Bush was. Clinton was. Bush 1 was. They tricked their own constituency because they were kind of polished. It had a sheen of professionalism about it. What we're seeing right now is just this hodgepodge of really objectionable, not very intelligent players. The propaganda is not even good. It says something about the United States that it works on some people. Kamala Harris, this is New York Post. Kamala Harris sidelined amid growing tensions with Biden, insiders say. She doesn't think she's getting her due respect. Vice President Kamala Harris feels increasingly isolated inside the White House as her approval ratings nosedive. The first female VP believing she's not getting the same support given to other members of the Biden administration, according to a detailed new report. It's hard to miss the specific energy that the White House brings to defend a white man, knowing that Kamala Harris has spent almost a year taking on a lot of the hits that the West Wing didn't want to take themselves. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? It's just, it's like play acting. This is why I've developed this attitude where when I watch this stuff, I just say to myself, well, I'm just not participating in any of this stuff. And I guess that's weird for a talk show host on a conservative station to say, I'm just not, they're not going to take money from me for this infrastructure plan. I don't want to be more specific than that, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just not participating in this stuff. I'm not participating in the COVID rituals. I'm just not going to do it. I may have to miss some things. If some of these concerts around here and venues get all hysterical about masks and vaccines, I can miss a show. I'm not participating in it. It's almost like I'm just like at this point watching a play. I'm not invested in this stuff. I think it's catastrophic for my children because my children may not have the luxury that I have. And it's not a luxury that I've earned in any way. It's just a mental luxury where I look at this stuff and say, I'm just not going to let them. I'm not going to let these people into my life. I'm not going to abide by their rules. I'm not going to pay attention to them. I'm not going to take their shot. I'm just not participating. It's a very strange thing. It's kind of hard to explain, but I look at it as this institution, this corrupt institution. It's like watching a television show to me at this point. It has no bearing on my life whatsoever, although it probably really does. It's, as I say, hard to explain. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? All right, lost him. There was another story. Let me see if I can pull this up. I have a bunch of them on here. As I said, I've kind of diverted from my notes today. Just watching this is just, it's hard to believe. It's whether it's COVID, whether it's our political process, whether it's Joe Biden is actually the president of the most powerful nation on earth. It's all surreal stuff. I guess maybe that's the best description of it. This is just a surreal time to be alive. The Intercept is running a piece. The formerly great Intercept was hacked by, taken over by social justice warriors who kicked out one of their founding members, Glenn Greenwald. Now it's the Intercept, the social justice warriors, but they're running a story. It's not just white people. Democrats are losing normal voters of all races. You think? And that's the interesting thing to me about the Democrats. I've been asking this question really for well over a decade now as I saw the Democrats pandering to the smallest sliver of people. No example greater than transgender people. Now, treat people as people. I believe people who are transgender are victims of a mental crisis. They should be loved and helped. I know it's annoying when they get in your face and try to read at story time. I'm as frustrated with that as you, but it is such a small sliver of the population that the Democrats would spend an inordinate amount of time really trying to appeal to this teeny tiny sliver. And it was only a matter of time, really, and I guess we finally have reached that tipping point with the Biden administration where, as The Intercept says, normal voters of all races are leaving the Democratic Party. They finally have seen the insanity. It's like the veneer is off. That polished corruption, that veneer of credibility that has been in both Republican and Democrat administrations before this. Again, criminals all. War criminal presidents throughout almost all of modern time. And I include a lot that people don't want to hear me include. I don't care what side you're on. Your guy was a war criminal. If they were president in the last 20 years, particularly. Longer than that, Bill Clinton presided over the death of 500,000 Iraqi children. Why do they hate us? I can't imagine. But that veneer of, you know, classy criminalism is just stripped off and laid bare to just see what is a bunch of mental defects. Can I say retards? Because that's what we're looking at. It's just this huge assemblage. Pete Buttigieg puts out a picture of he and his husband in a hospital bed holding the newborn that I guess they adopted. In a hospital bed. I meant to pull the image up. I can't remember if his husband was actually in a gown. You know, a hospital gown? I rarely comment on this stuff with people in my personal life, but when I saw this picture of our current transportation secretary, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, a less qualified person may have never operated the levers of that agency. Now, they've all been corrupt. They were just, they were people who had this polished veneer around their corruption running. Now we've just got this amateur, this lightweight, Pete Buttigieg. But when this picture came out of he and his husband in a hospital bed, obviously neither one of them delivered this child, but the picture was staged as if one of them had just come through delivery. It's one of these pictures that you see with new parents, normal, real parents, where the woman gives birth and the husband leans into the picture and they take a picture with the newborn. You know, that picture that is very popular with families that actually give birth to a child. They posed that picture with our transportation secretary. You understand the strangeness of that? I sent that out in a group text to a bunch of my buddies. I said, can somebody please explain to me why they are in a hospital bed for this picture? They could have taken the picture standing next to a Toyota. There was no hospital involved for these two men. It is just bizarro world. And so now the Democrats are losing voters in all races. Now, here's the thing, though. What happens when this red wave takes effect? There may be some positive effects of that. I'm willing to admit, although I do not play the two-party game, as nutso as the Democrats and the left have become, there will be some return to some levels of sanity and a smidgen more freedom if we were to become a red country again, because the Republicans will pander to their constituents. They will bring back the professional class lying and cheating and corruption that they always have. What they'll do is they won't force you to take a vaccine. And that way they get your tacit support. You will continue to pull the levers because you were given back this right that you always really had anyway, but they'll take credit with giving you this right to bodily autonomy again. Meanwhile, they will continue to pay off their crony K Street lobbyist friends. But you'll accept it because it's not as insane as what's going on the left right now. There are so many things that are difficult to describe these days on the air. I had a caller the other day as we're watching this vaccination program with a shot that doesn't stop infection, doesn't stop transmission, but it's couched as the savior to stop COVID, and everybody must rush out and get it, and they're ignoring the side effects. I mean, the whole thing is just difficult to put into words. So is this political landscape. I don't know what I'm seeing anymore. It is like children playing government. The thing is they are affecting a whole lot of people's lives. They're bankrupting our country, but they've been doing that for decades. You can feel me struggling to explain my view on this stuff. It is surreal. I think that's just the best way to put it. Be right back. I am somebody who usually has a lot of structure to my show. This last hour has really turned into a rant. I'm looking at images on my screen of these politicians. It just kind of triggers me. I don't know what I'm watching. And it really, to tie this all in a bow, to start the show with a Jim Brewer commentary, I guess. His Twitter video that he put out where he's just like, these diversions are working exactly as planned, keeping us all... The problem is that, if there's a red wave in 2022, what do you think we're going to get? You think they're going to stop the money printing, the debasement of the currency? Do you think the oligarchs, the globalists, the Goldman Sachs, the Jeff Bezos, do you think they're going to be taken down a peg? No. You think the Federal Reserve is going to be curtailed and destroying our currency? No. You think the wars are going to be ended? No. You think healthcare is going to be fixed if Republicans get the levers of power? No. And no is really the word that Americans need to learn, and this is why I tell you. The problem is that people won't get together and just say no. I mean, you look at this government we have right now. There's no other really word for them when they make these pronouncements of what they're going to do other than the Americans en masse just going, I don't think so. We're going to take $1.2 trillion from you and we're going to give it to kindergarten transgender studies. No, you're not. See, there's a lot of Democrats who aren't down with that either. And conservatives would do well to start talking politely to these people. Here's the problem. You know, when you have a conversation, when you want to kind of come to some level of consensus, and the consensus should be, our government has jumped the shark. We are witnessing the death of an empire. This is pretty easy consensus for people on both sides of the aisle who aren't complete lunatic on the fringe can come to. The problem is, normally when you come to a consensus, you got to give something. And your Democrat or liberal friend is going to go, well, yeah, but that Trump guy was bad, too. And you're going to refuse to admit it. Oh, no, he was great. He was a savior. He was the greatest guy ever. And then, boom, the conversation's over. I just played you. Trump wanted to do a $2 trillion spending bill. He wanted to be bigger and better than anything else. And so nobody will leave. No one will admit that they were duped. If everybody was willing to accept it, because you have been duped. I was duped. I've explained it on the show 100 times. Until you admit that you were duped, then maybe the person you're talking to can admit that they were duped. We might come together and go, oh, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. No. We're not doing this. Just no. No. But we won't do that, unfortunately. The red wave will come. Nothing will change. Everybody will feel a little bit better for a little while, and we'll continue down this path. Very sad. Anywho, all the time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.